message here this morning. And like I said, I'm just going to go a little ways into this. I'll kind of figure out where I'm going to kind of pull the plug here on this. But in John chapter 17, now this is the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room. We read some verses earlier in our scripture reading together, verses 9 through 11. And the Lord Jesus Christ is soon going to be going to the cross. He's only hours away, really. This is the middle of the night, and he is speaking to them. Chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 in the book of John talks about what's taking place in the upper room. So here he's praying for them, but you know what's amazing? He's not only praying for them, but he's praying for us as well, all those who will trust in him down through the ages. And so what a great blessing that is. And so we take a look here, we'll read verses 17. This is a great verse right here, but instead of reading through the whole chapter, I'm just going to start in 17 and read through the end of the chapter. And it says right here, he says as he's praying, sanctify them through thy truth. He's praying for the disciples, and he's praying unto the Father. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That would be all of us down through the ages. Praise the Lord. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, think about this. These are words that are hard to process, but they're amazing words that the Lord gives to the disciples and he gives to us. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. An amazing prayer. An amazing prayer there in that upper room. You think, now, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's God manifest in the flesh. He's the God-man. But shortly, he's going to be going to the cross. And he's human. He's looking at what's before him, but he's praying for them. He's thinking about them. That's our God for us. Amen? He's always thinking about us. He's thinking about them, and he's praying for them. And he brings forth, especially verses 21, 22, and 23, about what I'm going to just start into here this afternoon. About this identification that we have with Christ. We are part and parcel with the Lord. It's an amazing thing. And I'm praying, and that's my prayer to the Lord, is that we really get a good hold of this. I hope you have a good hold of it. Sometimes I think I have a decent hold of this, but I want an even greater hold of it, a hold of this truth that the Lord gives to us, that it would just resonate in my heart always that, you know, he says that we are now members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are part and parcel with the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, does that resonate with you? It really does with me. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and let's just start into this message. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for everything that has taken place up to this point. We thank you for the Sunday school and the lesson that we heard, and Lord, we thank you again, the Farringers being here. We thank you for this calling on their lives. And what a remote area, but there's that peace in their heart. They know that this is where you've sent them, and I pray for them. And our church prays for them, Lord, that you will help them as they raise support to get to this place. And Lord, we think about the people that are there, the people that they will be rubbing shoulders with, and people that they will be contacting, and the gospel will get out. And we pray that hearts will be prepared even now. And so we just pray that you'll help them as they're on this deputation road. And Lord, may we be a blessing to them today. So we thank you for all of this. And now we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Lord, we thank you for what we have in Christ. And Lord, there are so many things that go over my head. I think that's probably true of every one of us, but help us to get a good understanding of what you're teaching us and what you're showing us from your word. So we thank you. We pray that everything that is said, Lord, everything that I say would honor and lift up and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me not to say something that I should not to say. Lord, hide me behind the cross. I pray, Father, for the Spirit of God to do his work in each and every one of our hearts. You know all of the needs that are represented in this room here today. And I pray that you'll address each and every one of them. And for somebody that may be here without Christ, I pray you'll bring them to the Lord Jesus today. So we thank you and we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me just for a little bit speak on the subject of our identification with Jesus Christ. Or as some might say, our union with him. That's an important doctrine. It's something important for us to understand that when we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in him and he is in us. And we identify with him. And so, of course, I'm speaking to every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And whether you got saved 50 minutes ago or 50 years ago, it makes no difference in regard to this union or our identification that we have with God. The bond is steadfast. Yes. Amen? The bond is steadfast. Now, when we say that we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying that we have become one together with him. Now, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I love that dictionary, and one of these days I'm going to get a bunch of them and put them in the foyer and give you an opportunity to buy one because they're just great, wonderful value in that 1828 Webster's dictionary. I just love, you know, it was Noah, right? Noah Webster. He put that thing all together. Man, godly man. And there's so many references to the Bible. And what a blessing it is. Plus, you get a great workout just by lifting that book up and just trying to open the pages. It's double blessing, all right? But it's great to have one of those. But in that 1828 Webster's dictionary, it says identify. The word identify, to become the same, to coalesce or unite, okay? To coalesce in interest, purpose, use, effect, etc. Is that making sense? Yeah. To identify. You know, when super glue first came out in 1942, it was touted that nothing could separate what super glue brought together. And it was almost true, but not totally. There are a lot of stories about super glue stories. We won't go down that trail today. But what we have in Christ is permanent. And nothing can separate this union. There's nothing that can separate it. You know that you are inseparable if you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are inseparable by anything, you know. And Paul lays out a whole list. We'll read that verse. We'll read that little passage there in Romans chapter 8. There's nothing that can separate you between you and the Lord. It's wonderful. Now, that shouldn't make us have some kind of a mindset, well, man, if I'm saved, I'm just going to go out party. And boy, God forbid. You know, isn't that what Romans chapter 6 says? You know what? I'm just going to read that verse because I'm going to butcher it. It's not coming right to my mind. But Romans chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We should not have even that thought that, oh, wow, I'm saved and I can't lose this salvation because I have this assurance of my salvation, so I'm just going to go live like I want to live. That's so remote from how we should even want to think. We should have something inside of us that says, Lord, you saved me. And you know, it's just my reasonable service to give my life to you, to give my life as a living sacrifice. Amen? I know we're a quiet crowd. And sometimes, and I know you're responding, and probably many of you respond like maybe your toes are, you know, wiggling in your shoes, but I can't see that. So, you know, when you say amen, it's like saying sick 'em to a dog, okay? It's like, I like that. I kind of like that. But nothing can separate us. Now, what I want to just do today, and I'll just start down this road, is to bring out some of the benefits that come to us when we get a hold of this truth of our identification with Him. And this first benefit is when we receive, first of all, the knowledge of this identification, the knowledge of it. You know, the Bible says that, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3, it's the last verse, I think it's verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's the wrong kind of a knowledge, you know, a knowledge that puffeth up, but there's the right kind of knowledge. And there's being instructed and learning, and we're to learn and we're to know more about the things of the Lord. It's important. We're to be in our Bibles daily. Brother Farringer brought that out. You know I bring that up all the time. Be in your Bible every day. Study it. Let God speak to your heart. But let's be filled with the Word of God. Now, just take a look at that passage in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 through 39. And that'll take us right to the end of the chapter. Verses 35 through 39, and it says this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What a great verse that is. Amen? And then it says, For I am persuaded, Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Paul brings out a whole slew of things. And then he just says, you know, whatever you can even think of, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we all love to identify with something, right? Even if it's maybe not always the right thing. I love Joey. But he identifies with the Seattle Mariners. It's all right. I pray for him. That I'm praying that he'll become a Dodger fan. It's not going to happen. But listen, we do like to identify with things. It's just part of how we are. It's part of our nature. That we identify with this, we identify with that. Sometimes we can get a little silly about it. You know, ladies get excited about, you know, being in little crochet clubs or whatever they might be in. But we like our clubs too, you know. We like, man, I'm on this bowling team, or I'm a Costco member. Man, what a great club. Listen, none of that. None of that is better than being part of this group, of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I love milk. And you know, listen, but there's just something that's even better than milk, and that is chocolate milk. And when I was a kid and I first, you know, I don't remember it distinctly, but I just remember a little bit about, what is this? It's this brown container, chocolate syrup. What do you do with it? Just pour it into that milk. It's just disappearing. What's going on? Just start to stir it. And you stir it, it's like, this is magic. This is wonderful. Chocolate milk. Oh, my goodness. And it just became one. Man, it just became special. Listen. I hope you're following me with this. I'm having to resort to elementary illustrations here. But listen, this is one of the greatest truths that I learned as a young Christian of what I'm speaking here of, and that I belong to Him. And my standing is secure. You know, my state, my day-to-day, it may wobble and do all of that, but my standing is secure in Christ. And I'm in Him, and He is in me. Let me just read a couple of verses here, and then I'll finish up this point. And we're going to kind of stop right there. I've got 5 points, but I'm going to just finish with this one. But John chapter 10 and verse 28 says, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord says, there's nobody, there's absolutely nobody that can pluck you out of my hands. And we're in his hands. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30 and 32, for we are members of his body. This verse that I quoted earlier. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And then verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Man, we are just members of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in him. He is in us. John chapter 14 and verse 20, it says, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Boy, that ought to just, you ought to just sit down for a while and just let that, just ruminate on that. Just think about that. Lord, you're in me. We have the Spirit of God living inside of me, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. You say, I can't figure that out. Isn't he at the right hand of the Father? But yeah, it's Christ in me too. We can't figure God out. We have the Lord with us. I am in Christ, and he is in me. Folks, let me just say this. If you haven't gotten hold of that truth, you need to get a hold of it. You need to get a hold of it. That's kind of where I'm going to finish off this message today. Get a good hold of where you're at with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it will do wonders for you. It'll do wonders for you. You know, maybe your upbringing was sabotaged, and you had some things thrown your way, and maybe there were things that weren't quite, you know, what you would have wanted. Let me just say this. Boy, if you just need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I sometimes struggle processing through all of that, some of the things that I was subjected to, some of the things that I experienced. But Lord, help me to put all that to the side and understand that you are all truth. And what I have in Christ is just phenomenal. And Lord, help me to focus on that. We're told to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. So if we just look to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me? You know where I've been. And only you can help me to be able to just put that behind me. And then just be able to understand what you're telling me here. And the Lord will help you. Whatever kind of past you've had, the Lord's grace is greater than all of that. And he'll get you to a place where you'll understand, oh, Lord, thank you. I'm in your hands. And you love me. And you care for me. He cares for you like nobody else cares. He died for you on a cross. And he died for me on a cross. And I'm totally convinced that somehow if I was the only person that ever lived, he'd have died for me. I don't have any doubt he would have died for me. And so he would have done the same for you. That's how much he loves you. And that's what's so important to understand, that, man, we need to understand that we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in him and he is in us. And I'll just end it right there. That's just barely that first point, and I'll finish it up either next week. I know next week's Father's Day, whatever. We'll finish it up. But what a great thing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, I look around and I think, well, I hope everybody here's saved. But I don't always want to make that assumption. You may be here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, as I just mentioned, for those of us that have been saved, we understand that he loved us. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He came and lived a sinless life. He met the demands of the law in our place. And then he became the one that was despised and rejected of the, you know, the Father couldn't even look at him. He took all of our sins upon him. He became accursed when he was on that cross because he took our sins upon him. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. And that's the only kind of righteousness that we need to have. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And so if you're here without Christ, he died for you on a cross. He was buried and he rose again. And that's the gospel. And the Bible says that if you'll put your faith and trust in him, that you'll come to him knowing that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that he paid a price that we could not pay. You know, what is, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right. He died for you. Will you acknowledge that? And then the Bible says that if you'll believe that, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe from your heart that, you know, that he rose again from the grave, that's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. God says he'll save you if you'll believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. And so with that, kind of abbreviated, but I want us to just go ahead and bow our heads at this point. Let's just go ahead, and we're going to bow our heads, and I want us to just be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer, and just thinking about what we have in Christ. Now, maybe this is something you've been thinking about and something that you've been focusing on, praise the Lord. But maybe it's something that you haven't been, and maybe God's given you a newfound appreciation for what we have in Christ. Now, this is a great opportunity as the piano begins to play in just a moment. This is a great opportunity for us just to do business with God. Maybe the Spirit of God who lives inside of you and I has spoken to you about what you and I have in Christ. This is a great time to thank the Lord. It's a good time maybe to come here to the altar and just say, Lord, I just want to stop and thank you. Sometimes I get going in the hustle and bustle of my schedule, and sometimes I don't always stop and thank you for what I have in Christ. Lord, thank you that I belong to you. Thank you that no man can pluck me out of your hand. What a great thing that is. This is a good time to thank him and to praise him. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, then I want to persuade you, like Paul would say, I want to beseech you that you would put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He'll save you. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll take you to heaven one day. And I would encourage you to just step out in the aisle, come up to the front. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know that you're saved. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's pray at this time. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for the things that have taken place today. It has been a great blessing. As I mentioned earlier, Lord, that Sunday school and just being gathered together and singing praises unto you, having prayer time, the fellowship that we have, the Word of God opened, we thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that you've been able to do what only you can do. I pray, Father, that I haven't hindered you. Forgive me if I have, but I pray you could just speak to each and every heart. Maybe there's somebody here without you, Lord, and I pray that they'd get saved today. And then, Lord, for those of us who know you, would you help us, Lord? I don't want to throw everybody under the bus with me, but there's times I just forget. I get caught up in my schedule. You know that. But I want to thank you for what you've done for me, for loving me, for giving me eternal life. Lord, help us. Help us to be grateful for that. We thank you and praise you for being a great God who made that wonderful sacrifice on our behalf. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's